Guys, on Behind the Brand, we have none other than my guy, Nick Better. Now, I'm going to put a massive disclosure out there. Before I do actually do that, I want to give a massive shout out to the Better Media Studio. Literally going to do this every episode that we do. But I am really, really grateful that I've got our special guest on here. And the reason why is because, just to keep it real transparent, our actual guest that I was meant to jump on now for today had some last minute changes. And so what did I do? I do what I do best, which is I work on doing the lastminute.com stuff. And so what I've done is I reached out to the co-host of the Behind the Brand, and I thought it'd be a good idea to get him on board. But there's also another reason why I wanted to get him on board, and the reason why is because this guy has one of the most impactful stories that I know. And the only reason why is because I've been a part of his journey behind the scenes. But this guy does not get the credit that he deserves, and he knows that. And I'm really grateful that we've got Mr. Nick Better, or aka Better, on here. How are you feeling, bro? Being on the other side.
Yeah. As we've been setting up, I'm like, this is so weird. Like, I guess looking at what my guests look at. And I said to you before, like, it feels weird sitting in this chair, even though we're in the same chair. So I'm like, my chair feels so much better than this.
Yeah.
But no, I'm very much so excited for this opportunity. Like, I've been on podcasts before, but as I stated to you off air before we started, my big focus moving forward into 2024 is really focusing on my communication and the way that I'm articulating myself and my message. Because if I can focus on that, whether that be doing a conversation like this or my social media content, it's going to transfer into my podcast. So that's a big focus for me. And as soon as you said, Nick, you know, my guest canceled, what do you think about, you know, doing a podcast together? I'm like, you know what? Sweet, let's do it, bro. So I'm excited.
I'm excited too, because Nick knows how it is to be the host. And so I know it's going to be very challenging for him to be on the other side. But I know that you've been on other podcasts, being on the other side of being a special guest. So I know that it's going to be quite smooth for you. But one thing I did want to touch on is there's a reason why I wanted to get him on. And although, yes, we're co-hosts and we run the Behind the Brand, people don't realize that he actually has a business himself, and he has a journey. He has a story to being where he is right now. And so I'm really keen to jump onto that. But before we do, you already know that there are people that are just followed the Behind the Brand. They have no clue who you are. Did you want to just, you know, introduce yourself and tell the people what you do?
Well, my name's Nick. Yep. I always hate these, eh? Because it's like, where do you start? Do you like, do you dive into like a full-on story? Or do you just be like, hey, my name's Nick?
But you know what? I think that's something that, I think this is really good for you to jump on here, because it gets you to articulate, because I know that was something that you wanted to work on, is learning how to articulate. So this is a great, I guess, starting point for you.
All right. So to give you a bit of context, for myself, if you were to go back 5 years, so I've been doing my podcast for 5 years now. If you were to go back 5 years, I was that shy, quiet, introverted kid who couldn't have conversations, who lacked self-confidence, self-esteem, all that kind of stuff. And for me to be in a situation like this or any new environment, my anxiety would skyrocket through the roof, and I would be looking for every negative thing, creating all these scenarios in my head of what could go wrong just to get myself out of that situation. And it got to the point where if I was forced or had to put myself in a new environment, I would make myself physically sick to the point where I'm actually like vomiting.
Yeah, wow.
Because I created all these narratives in my head of what could go wrong. 99.999% of the time, none of that shit ever happened. It's just what I created and thought about up here. And it put me in a situation of, fuck, I don't want to be here. I want to stay in my comfort zone.
Yeah.
That has been a hell of a journey from that version of Nick to the version I am now. And I'm sure we're going to dive into that. But essentially, it all started from me going to a personal development event. Now, if anyone out there knows who Gary Vee is, American entrepreneur, came to Australia in 2019 At the time, I was at university and I hated it. I didn't know my place. I felt lost. And the only reason I ended up in uni was I was injured at the time prior to enrolling. And I went to my physio and he's like, oh, like, what are you doing after school? What are you doing with your life? And I said, I don't know. But I love health and fitness. I love sport. I love rugby league. Because that was the dream I was chasing. I was like, I want to go to the NRL.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, not everyone's going to make it to the NRL and you need some sort of backup. He goes, have you thought about sports and exercise science? And I started really diving into that, looking into especially the colleges over in America. And we speak about America, the NRL.
Yeah.
Round one is today, in America, which is going to be amazing. But I looked into all that. I'm like, holy shit. Like, imagine working with those types of athletes in that environment. Like, that would be amazing, right? So dived into university and I hated it. I am not someone that belongs in a university. And for me to do a sports and exercise degree, you think, oh, it's all going to be like physical thing. It was all theory and I'm not a theory guy. I learn by doing. And coming back to business, the best way to learn business is actually by doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't learn by reading papers and writing essays and shit like that. Like, no, that's not my thing. So at the time, had a uni, went to this personal development event where Gary Vee was speaking. And I remember sitting in the crowd. Gary Vee walks out on stage and I'm sitting there. I'm like, shit. Imagine if I could captivate a crowd like this. Imagine if I could be on stage speaking, sharing my message, my value. And remember, I'm that shy, quiet introvert kid, right? Yeah. So I got this one voice saying, oh yeah, you can do it. And this other voice, which is just like overcoming me saying, who the hell are you to do that? Like, just stay in your comfort zone, little bitch. Mm. Like, just you don't go out there. Don't try and put yourself in a situation where you have to talk to people. Like, that's scary. Don't do that. But I remember sitting with myself and saying, Nick, I can go down one or two paths. Well, essentially, I can stay on the path I am now, or I can branch off and go down a new path of putting yourself out of your comfort zone, learning how to communicate and actually having an impact and finding out who you are and where you belong in this world. And I thought, that's scary, but I'm going to do it because I don't want to stay where I am now. The next day, I dropped out of university, started working in my family's business full time. And that's a funny story myself because growing up, I was like, I never want to work in this business. Like, I hate it. I don't care about air conditioning and I still don't care about air conditioning. Yet, I found myself in the business. But hey, right this second, it pays for the bills and it's paid for this amazing studio. So I am actually forever grateful for it. But at the end of the day, it's not my passion. It's not something that I want to pursue for the rest of my life. Right now, it's a stepping stone to get me to where I want to get to on my journey. And it allowed me to buy my first camera, start vlogging, then started podcasting. I had no clue what podcasting was. Gary Vee popped up again and goes, everyone needs to have a podcast. I'm like, what's a podcast? I don't even listen to them. But hey, right behind you, Josh, I bought that microphone. I had a shitty old laptop, plugged it in. First episode was a 3-minute long episode. You want to grab that microphone?
Yeah, I want
to grab
it.
Grab that microphone, baby.
And I'm also going to grab, because I know definitely this was the very thing that you're using.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's very dusty too.
My first little interface, So I had this little microphone, crappy JB Hi-Fi one, this little interface plugged into my very old laptop, which is not here actually. I think it's gone to the grave. But that first episode, and anyone can go back and listen to it because I left it on there. I don't care. That's a part of my journey. A 3-minute episode, and guess how long it took me to record?
Over an hour. Yeah.
Over an hour because I thought it had to be perfect.
Because you were like cutting it out, Like you're like, you started it, and then after that, you.
I kept pressing stop. Start, stop, start, stop, start. Oh, no, I mumbled this word or like, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But I did it and I put it out there. And for some weird reason, I kept going with it. I kept recording episodes. Then I got friends on and started having conversations with them, and I started to really find an interest in it because I was as naturally introverted, like social settings are not my thing, but one-on-one conversations, being able to dive deep and connect with someone was something that I realized, like, hey, I really enjoy this. And I had mates that jump on, and you think you know your friends, and then you jump on a podcast together and you just go another layer deeper and you build a stronger connection there, especially when you're both opening up and you're being vulnerable about your journey and your story. Man, it makes that relationship so much stronger, man. But yeah, it just continued to grow and grow and grow. And 5 years later, nearly 300 episodes, 170 of them, I guess, episodes. So I've spoken to 170 people. That is crazy. Prior to me starting this podcast, I don't think I've spoken to that many people in my life. But I went on that journey. I'm still on that journey. And for me, I'm just playing the long game. Yeah. I don't know where it's going to take me, but I'm just enjoying the process. And I say this to everyone that has thought about starting a podcast or they're interested in podcasting. For me, podcasting has been the number one personal development journey for myself. You can listen to other podcasts, you can read books, whatever the case is, but being able to sit across from someone who has their own journey, their own knowledge, their own value, and for you to pick their brain, ask questions, and oh God, that coffee's kicking in, to learn firsthand from them, man, that's an experience that not everyone gets to get.
Yeah.
And I'm forever grateful that I'm able to do that and to be able to speak to 170 people and the amount of knowledge and growth that I've gained from them, which I'm then able to implement into my own life and then share to the listener, has been amazing. So in a nutshell, I think I went on a bit of a rant there, but that's I guess a small pocket of my journey.
If there's one thing, I've got so many questions to ask, but I do want to do one thing, and I want to acknowledge you, bro, because I know, and funny enough, I know this because I've listened to the first podcast that you've done with yourself, like your own, like your solo podcast, and to see where you were then, to see where you are now, like a guy that would, you know, press start and then press stop and then press start, like on your episodes to now just fluently just being able to share like your story, like it, I couldn't, you know, be grateful enough, bro, the fact that I get to do this with you.
Like, for example, when I just said the coffee's kicking in there.
Yeah.
If back when I first started, I would have said, up, scrap that episode. Yeah. I got to start again.
Yeah.
It's part of the journey.
Yeah.
Like, you have drink here. You're going to coffee. You're going to burp. You're going to, like, mumble your words from time to time. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
If you try and make everything perfect, well, then are you really being your authentic self? You're not. Now I don't care. I'm just like, yeah, cool. It is what it is. It's a podcast. It's a conversation. It's funny
because we usually get into that space, especially when it comes to like doing podcasting or even just doing vlogs, which we both have experience in doing. And there's always that thought in your mind of, oh, we need to have that like perfect. We need to have that certain shot. We got to have that certain way of speaking and articulating. So, yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge you, bro, and say thank you, you know, for being able to, Not only just thank you for going out and doing the work and staying consistent, but being able to share what you had shared just then. Even though it went, bro, I looked at the time, bro, it went for 10 minutes. You just sharing your story. But one thing I do want to say for you, man, is keep doing what you're doing.
Tell you what's crazy? I would never been able to waffle on for 10 minutes.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, I'm spacing our time on this podcast to acknowledge you because, and do it publicly. Like, you know me, bro. I always acknowledge you in certain areas, like in the private.
Josh is always on his knees, bro.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm always like, grateful, grateful, grateful. But I wanted to do it publicly to let everyone else know that what you're doing well, man. And I just wanted to commend you on that. I know that the other people are going to be doing that too. So, as we do, grateful. But I do want to touch on one thing. And, you know, just to go through a bit of context as to what I had gathered from you, you started your journey through a personal development event. Now, was that physical or was that like a physical event.
Yeah.
And that was in 2019, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. Yep. And so this was prior to COVID.
Yeah.
So prior to when there was no pandemic, like, era, which I want to get into later on in terms of how you're able to navigate your podcasting journey through COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned here that you started doing uni at Western Sydney because of an injury. So you got injured. You were talking to your physiotherapist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he mentioned to you about doing exercise science. Yeah. Science. Now, I wanted to touch on one thing, and it's the fact that you had that innate desire to let go of everything to focus on that one thing.
Mm.
And that one thing being doing podcasting.
Yeah.
Or going on that journey of like letting everything go. Can I ask you the question of how did you do it? And what was going through your mind at that time? So take me back to 2019, Nick Better, Batal. And this is prior to you starting the Better Project. What was going through the mind of you then?
Who the hell am I to do this?
Yeah.
Who's going to watch me talk to a camera about whatever I've decided to speak about? But that's a very interesting question.
Mm. Anyways, why I ask this is because a lot of people, like, I know this for myself, when we're going through the journey, whether it's starting a business, starting a brand, we're always on that drive of hustling and always looking for the next big thing. But and I learned this from one of my clients. One of my clients actually said this to me. He's like, oh, have you looked back on how far you've come? And I said, oh, no, I haven't, because I'm just on that hustle. And I know that. I know that, that's a one common trait in business people and business owners and people that have brands and building up their brands, is that one common thing is that we tend to forget to reflect.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to take that time out today to look through and allow you to reflect on how far you've come. And so looking back at the 2019 Nick Better, what was he going through then? I'm sure that you're going through a bit of imposter syndrome. I'm guessing that you're going through a bit of perfectionist, you know, anxiety. Talk us through, man. How was it like for you to even like allow yourself to let go of going to uni and I guess going through the status quo and wanting to start something different?
I'm just trying to think how I can articulate this.
It's good.
That period of my life was very interesting, because I was going down the common route that everyone goes down, right?
Which I have done too.
Yeah. To then go against the grain, to pick up a camera and to start filming myself. Yes, there was shit ton of imposter syndrome. Who am I to do this? Who's going to watch it? Like I said before, I don't know why I continue doing it.
Mm.
I really don't know. I think it was to prove something to myself that, hey, you can actually speak to someone. You can put yourself out there and have these conversations and share knowledge and value, because throughout my upbringing, I was always put down for being the shy kid. Ah, he's just shy. You know, he's not going to go out and speak to new people. And that's by people close to me too, like family members who would make it quite obvious that Nick's the shy kid. And when you're told that time and time again, you start to believe it yourself.
Yeah.
And it becomes your self story. And I've spoken about this previously around what is your self story. Mine used to be the shy, quiet, introvert kid who can't speak to anyone. Now it's like, man, I can jump on a podcast and I can have the conversations that I need to have to get the most value out of not only myself, but my guest, mm-hmm. and give that to the audience. I'm a proud father. Like, I still deal sometimes with imposter syndrome, and yep. I think that's normal.
Yeah.
I still deal with a level of anxiety, but my relationship with anxiety has changed.
Mm.
Previously, it was one of, I don't like it. Why is it arising in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Go away. I just want to stay in my comfort zone. Now it's like anxiety arises. Amazing. Let's go towards it. Let's build a relationship with it, because I now see it as a sign of something that you need to do. So if I have a big podcast episode coming up, I'm like, I'm feeling a bit anxious. But having that awareness to identify that is the first step. Because if you try and ignore it, if you try and shut it off, it's just going to grow bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. You got to identify, but hey, I've got anxiety right now. But also in the wording of it, not saying I am anxious, I am experiencing anxiety.
Mm.
Because once you let it become your identity, then it consumes you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lose control of yourself and the anxiety just takes over. And then you're never going to get out of that comfort zone. It's just going to be a spiral down to what? Playing victim your whole life, being like, hey, I'm anxious, I can't go out and do this. Well, I wish I could have done that, but my anxiety held me back. Like, we live in a society now where people legitimately use anxiety or mental illness or depression, whatever the case is, as an excuse not to go out there and do something.
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious? Like, yes, my podcast is around mental health, but it's not the poor me victim mentality. It's like, okay, cool. You're going through stuff right now. A breakup, loss of job, identity crisis. Like, we all have our own story, our own journey. But you can continue to live in that state of victim, or you can actually go out there and do something with your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, it's all a choice. People don't like to hear it, but anxiety is a choice. Depression is a choice. Yeah, there are things that can affect that and make it, I guess, more, make it develop or come up more in your life. But it's up to you to identify it and have the tools to be able to work through that and build the relationship with that. Whether that be going and seeing a therapist or whatever the case is, it's all a choice. So you can play victim or you can go out there and take action on your life. And for me, it's like taking action, especially now being a dad. Who am I to say to my daughter, yeah, you can go out and do anything you want in your life, if I'm sitting on the couch saying, oh, I can't do this because I have anxiety? Like, what kind of role model are you? What living example are you to your daughter, to the next generation, if you're not going out there and doing it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing for me, is not letting these labels, I should say, because everything's labeled these days. And I think it's so sad.
Mm.
And I do a lot of work in the schools, so with the air conditioning.
Yep.
And from the last couple of months of doing it, you go into some schools and everything has a label. Every kid has a label.
Mm.
I'm like, are you fucking serious? They're just kids.
Yeah.
Like, how can you label them with all these different things? Because what happens when they're grown up? They just attach that label to their identity. And then you wonder why, when kids go into the wide world, they can't handle any kind of adversity.
Mm.
They just crumble. What kind of life is that? What kind of healthy society is that? What happens when we go to war?
Mm.
We're just going to get fucking smashed.
Mm.
So for me, the whole purpose of the podcast now and my journey is to help men be better men.
Yeah.
To turn up as their best selves for not only themselves, for their kids, for their partners, for their business, their job, whatever the case is, but allowing them just to build that toolbox. So then when adversity may arise, they can overcome that shit.
Mm.
And they can continue to grow and to build off the back of that, because we all go through different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually got me onto this whole season thing,
yeah.
Which I've taken on board now, that right now you may be going through a shit season. That's okay. Mm. We all go through shit seasons. Are you going to stay in that season, or are you going to continue pushing through it? Right? Because at the end of the day, life doesn't stop for you. Life continues to go on. You go through all the different seasons of life. You can be stuck here in the past, or you can continue moving forward. And for me, it's like, keep pushing on. The season's going to end. You're going to move on to a next season. You're going to go into that season with a lot of lessons, a lot of growth, which then you can implement into that part of your journey too. And it's just never ending. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
Mm. I just want to go back on the question. So, and just going through like what you had shared. So I end up asking the question about how this all started for you in terms of you letting go of the university degree and continuing to do that and going full throttle on what we're currently going to be talking about right now, which is the Better Project and how that all come about. And what I'm gathering from what you had mentioned is, I end up writing it down, is you had to kind of ask yourself the question, am I going to be the victim or am I going to take action?
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely had taken action. 5 years later, you can finally say that you took action and it took you to where you are now. But I wanted to kind of follow up with the question of looking at yourself now, being here 5 years later, and just looking back on how far you've come, what was the cost that you had to make from you taking action? So if you had to look back, look at the cost that was taken towards, if you look at the different experiences that you could have went through the victim mentality and said, you know what, I can't do this, I can't be a podcaster, I can't do what Gary Vee is telling me to do, so instead of that, I'm just going to be a victim, I'm going to continue to allow myself to carry the identity of being a kid that always deals with anxiety, or that is shy, that is introverted. But you flipped that and you started focusing on, no, I want to take action. I'm going to do the podcasting, even though I don't know. Which, funny enough, you did mention that. Like, you had no clue what podcasting was. You didn't know what this microphone was. You didn't know what this interface is. So if you're looking at that now, what did it cost you to get to where you are now in terms of taking action?
A lot of stress and anxiety.
So obviously it didn't fly away.
No. It was very uncomfortable, especially in the beginning. And I'll say it cost me a lot of time.
Yeah.
Because pressing start and stop and start and stop consumes a lot of hours of your day, and then you've got to edit it all.
Not even that, but even if you look at you reaching out to your guest constantly, like you mentioned here that you had 170 special guests that you had interviewed, 300 like podcast episodes in total, but 170 special guest episodes that you've done. So if you're thinking about it, there's more than 170 reach outs that you have done
in
addition to that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just including that into what you're saying.
Yeah, but going back to who I was as a person, I was never someone to go out and party anyway. I was just like always dialed in on something, whether that be my training for footy. As I said, the goal was the NRL, so I didn't go out partying. I didn't go hang out with friends, more so because I'd rather just stay with myself anyway.
Yeah.
But I just put my time and energy into training, because that was the goal I set myself out to achieve. So I was just going to go all in on it. Then it pivoted to, okay, this podcasting thing's pretty cool. I can easily put time and energy into that. I had no responsibilities back then. I didn't have a kid. I didn't have a partner that was serious at that time where I had to spend heaps of time. I didn't have bills. I was just living at home. So I could just work, come home, and then just focus all my energy into podcasting. And that's what I did. Get home, eat, straight into my room, and just be editing or recording or playing around with different things. And it consumed my life.
Yeah.
And I think they're the periods of your life that you look back on and you reflect, and you're like, sometimes it's best to be naive when it comes to starting a business.
Yeah.
Because if I was to know now what it took to get to where I am now, would I have done it all again? Not many people would. Being naive is sometimes such a huge blessing. And I hear it time and time again with business owners, like, yeah, I'm naive, but I was just so keen to jump in and learn. And then once you jump in, you're just all in. And it's kind of crazy looking back to say that this is my fifth year doing it all, and I'm in a studio that I built. Looking back to where I was in a spare bedroom in my parents' house, it's like, wow, I have actually come a long way, and I don't give myself the recognition for that, because you said it before, that we're always so busy chasing the next thing. I'm like, I'm here now, but I want to be over here. I want this. Like, I can do all these upgrades in the studio. I can get more clients. I can get more guests in. But understanding who I was back then to who I am now has been a massive journey and a massive period of growth for me. And I'm forever grateful that I actually dove in and I guess took that leap of faith and trusted in the process. And I didn't know where it was going to take me. I didn't even think it would last 5-10 episodes. Yet here I am today.
Mm.
It's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, no, that's amazing, bro. It's really amazing to see how far you've come from the 2019 Nick, which, funny enough, I don't know. I don't know who that Nick
is. Because when did we connect? 2021 or 20? Yeah,
roughly. I think it was 2020, because I remember I interviewed you on the podcast. We interviewed each other.
All right, let me ask you. That version that you interviewed compared to today?
Completely different, bro. Yeah, completely different. I think, if I look at it from a podcasting standpoint, the conversation, well, the last podcast that we done together in terms of your, like, the better project, and we're pretty much flipped. I was on that side, you on here. The conversation we had then to the conversation that we had the first time, completely different. And the first thing I would state is the fact that I think you knew that you were in charge, as in, you had authority, and that carried throughout the whole podcast. The first, like the last one that we had done, but the first one, what I felt was, you're still trying to find your foot, and you're still trying to find your identity. You're still trying to find your authority, in terms of being okay. I'm the host. I'm the guy, and it's not in a cocky manner. It's a confidence matter. It's you being confident and being able to know, I know who I am, and to see you now, even like looking through all the other podcasts that you've been doing since then. Like, since the conversation that we had here and moving forward, it's been developing over time. Like, it's literally like you're cruising. Like, it's very balanced. And I remember, I think it was yesterday, you put a video out saying that you kind of felt a bit off.
Yeah.
In terms of like the last podcast episode that you done on the better project. And I think that's all normal. I think there's days where you would have a really good podcast, and then there's other days where, it's just shit.
It's even like today, like, I'll be honest, I'm tired as fuck.
Yeah, but this guy went to McDonald's. Funny, I've never seen this type of, like, Nicky before, literally, just to get some energy.
We're sponsored by McCafe.
Hey, if there's one thing that we're definitely going to get is, we're going to connect with a person in coffee bar, coffee shop, wherever you
something,
are.
Something, reach out. And the thing is, Josh knows me as the guy who doesn't drink coffee.
No. Oh, no, caffeine. Caffeine itself?
Yeah.
This guy is literally like, he's all about natural drinking.
I got a natural one here, Shine, but I was like, you know what? I want something a bit stronger here.
Yeah.
And I said, Josh, I'm going to Macca's. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, literally. Like, I was just sitting here, I'm like, all right, let's just wait and see. But you know what it is? I think this is a great testament on how far Nick is willing to go in terms of getting the best version of like of himself. If that means drinking caffeine or going against his own rule, then so be it. But just going back to what we'll like just having a conversation about, one thing I wrote here was being naive. And I know that within myself. I look at my journey with TKV or even just all the other stuff that I've done. I look at it, I'm like, yeah, you had to be naive. You had to kind of look at yourself and ask, oh, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work up. I'm going to do it anyways. So, no, it's good. It's good that you shared that. But what I wanted to do now is, because we haven't even dived into the main meat behind
why we're on here. 40
We're on 35, so you're pretty close.
3-hour podcast coming up.
Yeah, Joe Rogan, we're going for you. But what I wanted to do, you know the game, man. We do icebreakers here. And one icebreaker I wanted to do is I wanted to play a game called This or That. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to go for a minute. I've got a timer here. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions. I want to see how far you go in terms of how much this or that questions you can get through.
All right. You know I hate these games, right?
I know. But you're literally going to be on the pump. So I'm going to keep it easy for you. But are you ready?
Let's go for it.
All right. Timer starts now. This or that, playlist or podcast?
Podcast.
Shoes or slippers?
Shoes.
Pork or beef?
Beef.
Swimming pool or beach?
Beach.
Fruit or veggies?
Fruit.
Cat or dogs?
Dogs.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Cash or card?
Cash.
Cookies or chips?
Subway cookies.
Soda or juice?
Juice.
Farm or city?
Farm.
Text or call?
What?
Text or call?
Text.
New phone or new clothes?
Phone.
Black or white?
Black.
Driver or passenger?
Driver.
Laptop or tablet?
Laptop.
Comedy or horror? 10 seconds.
Comedy.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Dine in or dine out?
Dine in.
Movies or TV show?
Movies.
iOS or Android?
Apple.
Why?
Because it's just so easy and compatible with everything.
Why not Android?
I've never.
Wait. Have you used Android before?
Oh, back in the day, yeah. When I had the shitty old Android thing, it was useless. Now with Apple, we could just connect everything, your laptops, phones, it's just all connected. So it just makes life easier.
Well, I've noticed that you do have Apple everything.
Yeah.
You've got your Mac, you've got iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, it's crazy. Well, looking at it, your score, mate, you are at 22.
Is that good?
Yeah, that is good. Because my goal was to get you at 20. No, like, sorry. That was a goal. Like, if you can get past 20, then you've made it.
How many questions you got there?
Oh, bro, we've got like 100. Who's 250, 250, 250.
Sure. What's the most someone's got?
No, you're the first one.
Oh, you're the first speaker. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. It's a new thing. Oh, grateful.
Guys, so that's a high score for any special guests out there. They're going to jump on.
You're not beating it,
Oh, man. Now, one thing I do want to... I want to bring up one, like, just random question. And the main part behind this is just to get to know more about you. You mentioned here, text or call. What did you say?
I said text.
Why?
Because I hate calling people.
Hmm.
That introvert shit, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to text.
Yeah. You know what is so funny? And this is bringing me out from the co-host, from the hosting side, and just being like me and Nikki, like mates. One thing that I'm always about, and this guy knows because I'm always calling him, is that I'm a caller. I'm definitely a caller. I can't, like, I don't mind texting, but I'm just all about having the chat and yarn. And this guy knows that for sure.
Like, I'm grateful, but sometimes you just call me, I'm like, fuck off. Because I know you want to call me for one thing and then it turns into 10 things. And I'm like, oh, bro, 100%. I'm on the alpha, minimum an hour here.
But it's good. You know what? And I think one thing I've learned just from this relationship is that it's good. Like, it's good to have people that are completely different. You know, just imagine you having connected with another introvert that just texts all the time and it gets like tedious and it gets boring. But yeah, I just wanted to ask that question, bro. Text or call? Are you sure it's just text?
It depends the mood I'm in.
Mm.
If I'm in a good mood, I'll jump on the phone. But nine times out of 10, it's just like, just text.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
Well, I've noticed too, when we're on the phone, you know what? There have actually been times where Nick's called me and we've literally flipped. Like, we've like done a role reversal. Like, you're out there and you just jump in the gun, you're just sharing and having a chat. And then for me, I'm just being quiet and I'm just listening in, which is so funny because it's completely out of my character to not talk and to actually listen. But what I've learned from that is it's good. Like, it's fine. It's fine to kind of be on the flip side. But yeah, when you have your rants and when you're on that, like, hey, bro, like, I know when you're calling me and you want to have a chat, I know definitely that he's been seeking out for someone to have that conversation. But definitely, like, I'm grateful. Like, I'm definitely grateful for the relationship that we have. And also this or that question, I'm definitely going to play this for the next one. So yeah, anyone out there that wants to beat it, you have to beat 22 high score Nick Better.
It's funny, 22 is one of my favorite numbers now.
Oh.
Because Eliana's born on the 22nd of the first 2022. At 5:22 in the morning.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh. Ding, 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 ding. But yeah, just wanted to do a bit of an icebreaker just to get us ready and pumped up for the meat behind why I got you on here, which is to talk about behind the brand, behind the business, behind why or what you do behind the scenes. And, you know, I'm just looking through, we've covered a bit about who you are. I think people get a bit of understanding of your journey and your story behind where this all started. But I just wanted to utilize this time to really go through the main meat behind why we got you on here, which is to talk about how this all started for you and what you do in terms of your business. And so, Nick, tell us, what have you done? What have you done in terms of the business journey? Like, I look at your story, I look at your journey from what I know, and you're a great example of a true entrepreneur. You know, you started from nothing, you've got something, and you still got something to get you to that next level. And so just talk us through, man. I think we'll go back to 2019. Talk us through your journey from the business side of things and your podcast getting to where you are now.
I was going through, I don't know what I was going through, but I found some old business stuff that I was like working on back in like 2019. Yeah, that's a pen there, better project. That was just a pen. I don't even know if I bought that or someone else got that for me. But I actually was looking into like drop shipping and stuff like that. And like...
I remember.
Yeah. Just like random products that I found on like these websites. And I was like, oh, I'm going to create like a landing page and try and sell them. I never eventuated into anything. But that was the mindset I was in of let's try all these new things and let's try and build a business. Because I didn't know what I wanted, what I was passionate about, and what I wanted to pursue. But I just wanted to try new things. And no one knows that I kind of went down the line of trying to drop ship and all that kind of stuff. And then I wanted to do like health and fitness, personal training. And I mentioned the strength and conditioning stuff. Then what else did I do? The clothing brand, Better Life.
I still got the shirt.
Yeah, you still got it.
And funny enough, just a PSA, I still wear this to this day.
Oh,
like,
really?
I wear it to the gym, bro. Like the red one that you gave me.
Shit, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I literally, like, it's funny. Like, if anyone gives me a shirt, right, and they gift it to me, I'll wear it full pride. And funny enough, I wear it to the gym a lot. And so, funny enough, that's when one of the guys actually looked at my shirt, the red shirt, and it actually sparked the conversation of like, oh, you know Nick. And I was like, yeah, yeah, like he's my mate. And then he's like, oh yeah, like, you know, I used to play with him with Shannon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Shannon. I think he said that he played with you somewhere around that. And I just thought about that. Like, it's crazy how far you've come, but it made me realize about the shirt and about how easily marketed you can, and this is a really good tip for those out there. Like, it's literally subtle marketing. Like, I wear it all the time. Like, I literally have it in my bag now. I'm probably going to wait to the gym too. But yeah, sorry, going back to what you were saying. So you went into doing clothing.
So I started the clothing brand with my brother, actually. And I always wanted to do clothing because I would look up to someone, for example, Isaac John, YKTR, ex-rugby league player. So I had that kind of connection there. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Imagine if I could do a clothing brand, but I just never knew what to call it, and I would always play around with all these different names and logos and stuff. And one day my brother comes to me and goes, why don't you just call it Better Life, like our last name Batar, but like put a spin on it to say better and life, because we all want a better life. And I was like, that's interesting, why don't we go with that? And I just, once again, I dove headfirst into it, and it just consumed my life. I'd be on the computer looking at samples and different logo designs and all the little details, and we brought it to life. Now, it wasn't successful at all. The first drop, I think it was just all friends and family, which is, yeah, super grateful that you supported.
Always.
Then it just went downhill from there. It's just like, yeah, cool. They support you for the first one. And then it's just like, no one really cares. And that's the reality of business. No one gives a shit. Mm. But what I learned is that you need to build a brand before you build a product. Yet I was building a product without no brand. Like, no one knew who I was. I was just starting out the podcast journey. So that was like not where it is today. And my brother lost interest in it. So then I took it on board, but then I didn't really have that strong of a connection to it anymore. And then it just kind of died.
Mm.
And then I decided, you know, I'm just going to go continue with my podcast because that's my baby. That's where I started. Just focus on growing that. Now, when it comes to the brand Better Life, that brand is going to be coming back in some capacity soon. It's something that I want to bring back. Whether it's just Better, like my last name, or I do the Better Life thing too, but that's going to be coming back to some degree. I've thought about it. I'm like, oh, when I have some free time, I definitely want to dive back into that. But right now, I just want to build my brand and my message, and then I can focus on the product side of things later. So all in on the podcast, growing that, and then I built this beautiful studio for my podcast, and I actually had one of my guests come through, and he comes and he sits in the chair and he goes, have you ever thought about like renting out this space to other podcasters or other content creators? Like, you can make some money for it because it's not like you're using it all the time anyway. And I thought about it, I was like, that's a good point. And I remember just putting an ad on Facebook Marketplace saying, hey, podcast studio for hire. Then I had a couple of people reach out and I didn't know what price to charge.
Mm.
And I was like, oh shit, I'm looking at all these different studios and like they were like expensive, like more so what I charge now. But I was like, oh, I can't charge that. So I charge like so low. I'm like, oh yeah, $50, $75 an hour.
Mm.
I look back now, I'm like, fuck, I was ripping myself off, bro. Ripping myself off. But I got the clients through and they love the space. They loved what I built, the service that I provided. And then I was like, ooh, this could be something. And looking back, you know what the studio first looked like to now what it is now. It's like that in itself it's gone through different iterations. Last year, and I've disclosed this before, for a side business, for something that I didn't know was even going to make much money at all, I made $20,000 from this.
Mm.
This year in 2024, I've made 10 grand in 2 months. My goal is to make 50 or 60K from a side business, which I want to use to then pull back from my day-to-day job, which is air conditioning, so then I can put more time and energy into the business, into my podcast, and just continue growing that. So from something that I thought, oh, who knows, I might bring a little bit of extra cash, has now turned into something that is going to allow me to create the life that I want.
Mm.
And it just goes to show you just got to start something. You just got to take action. And that's a big piece of the puzzle that I share with everyone is like you can sit here and you can think about taking action. You can read all the books. You can listen to all the podcasts. But the way that you learn is actually going out there and doing the thing that you want to do because then you're going to have the setbacks. You're going to be faced with a bunch of adversity. And that's where you learn. That's where you come out the other side. And as I said, this studio has gone through different iterations because through having clients in here, I'm like, oh, I need to do this. I need to change this. I need to put the lights up there and like do all these different things to make the experience better for my clients, for my guests. And it's just continuing to growing. And I don't know where it's going to take me. But right now, I'm just focusing on the value that I can provide in hosting this space, in editing the content. Like I have a video right now for a client and I think I checked it this morning. It's at 14 million.
Yeah.
14 million for a video.
He was in here.
Yeah. Sitting right where you are.
And just want to clarify, were you the editor?
Yeah.
See, so everything was all the production was all in here, mm-hmm. and also the editing was in here too.
Yeah. So I did the whole service, and that's what Better Media is. It's the full done for you service. So all you have to do is come in here, do your thing, and everything's taken care of for you. So for me to be able to sit back and see a video like that, and he's posted other videos as well, and they're, you know, a couple of hundred K. There's some that have got 1-2 million. Like, I would never have thought that content that I would have edited would reach that amount of people. And through doing that, he's like, man, I'm coming back for more. So now I'm building that social proof and that reputation of, hey, this studio, my editing is actually worth it. It's actually going to get results. And it makes me fucking happy, bro. Happy knowing that the time, the effort, the energy that you're putting into something is slowly starting to pay off. It's not going to be an overnight success. But through me continuing to turn up, putting in the work, building the business, it's all going to pay off. So the main business right now is Better Media. The podcast, would I class that as a business? It's more so a passion project, which allows me to grow and to create more opportunities for myself and for other businesses down the track. It's more so a networking thing and a personal mm-hmm. development journey, as I mentioned before. So, yeah, the main business right now is Better Media. I want to bring back Better Life or Better down the track. But right now, I don't want to spread myself too thin. It's just focusing on my core businesses and my passions and my values of being a father, and then seeing where that takes me.
Mm. That's crazy, man. And I look at how far you've come, and I also look at, you know, you started drop shipping first, then you went into the health and fitness journey. What was that specifically like into the health and fitness? Were you like, were you doing like PT stuff? Were you, was it your own thing? Like, what was the, I was trying to get understanding.
Yeah. So I was doing my Cert 3 and 4 in fitness.
Yeah.
And then the company that I was doing it for went bankrupt. So I never actually got my certificate.
Oh, wow.
Which was bullshit. But what I was doing.
Wait, was this during COVID? Or was it pre-COVID?
During COVID, yeah.
Ah, so they would have, yeah. The typical.
Yeah.
Everyone, it's like there were so many companies that went,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, rogue, or they went broke.
Yeah, so my parents were pissed because they paid for it all, and then I got no result out of it. It is what it is.
Mm. But what it wasn't meant to be.
It wasn't meant to be. Because what I was doing is I was finding cookie cutter programs and recipes and shit like that and trying to sell them. And I had no fucking clue. Yeah. So I'm actually grateful that never took off because that just doesn't sit with me now, like as the right thing to do. But when you're that age, you're just trying to build something and trying to see what sticks. But like my message now would be, do something that aligns with your values and that allows you to be your authentic self, because you don't want to try and be someone else that you're not. And they say in business, you know, find a niche or pick a niche and just focus on that. The thing is, you are the niche.
Yeah.
You are the niche. People, branding, yeah. People buy people, not businesses. You're different to me. But we have very much a lot of similarities, right? People buy into who I am and my journey. I'm creating my own niche. I'm creating my own brand that when the time comes and I continue building this audience, giving this value, which is why I'm so focused now on my own content, like the solo content side of things, is because everyone looks at the podcast and my page, and for such a long time, because I wasn't confident putting that side of me out there, they just seen my guess. And they're like, oh, who's Nick? You're just someone who asks questions on a podcast. It's like, no, I actually have so much value to give, and there's so much more to me than just a podcast host. And I want to share that now and add value and build an audience and community off the back of that, because down the track, I have plans to create different products and services, but first I need to build the audience, and then the products will come after that, and people will be more inclined to support what I'm doing because they're not buying the service and the product, they're buying into me. And coming back to the skill of communication, every day you are selling yourself, whether that be on a podcast, a sales call, business, whatever the case is, you're always selling. So you need to learn how to communicate and articulate yourself in a manner that doesn't come across as a slimy salesman, but comes across as someone who actually cares, who's authentic, and who actually wants to add value and help someone. Because then by you helping someone else, they're going to help you and support what you're doing. So that's the direction that I'm heading in right now.
Yeah, so just going through that, so the health and fitness journey, like you've done your Cert 3 and 4 PT, but you didn't actually get the certificate, which is pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
But good, obviously, you know, wasn't meant to go through. You've done the T-shirt thing, you know, doing the merch with the Better Life, which is with your brother. And then you went into podcasting, which is probably, looking back, is like probably the one thing that kept going at everything else.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that it's more of a, you know, a project for you, a opportunity for you to network with other people. And even that too, like from what I've gathered, I've understood that a lot of the clients that you currently have now that are using the Better Media Studio, excluding us, is from guys that you've interviewed.
Yeah, it's been crazy that I've been able to bring guests into the studio and build a connection, build trust, and have an amazing conversation. And because a lot of them are business owners, they're like, "Ooh, this would be a mad space to create content." And then we get chatting about it. Next minute, they've turned into a client. And it's crazy that just by having a conversation and building a relationship with someone, you just never know the opportunities that can come off the back of that.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And so, and then, sorry, going through the podcasting with the Better Project, you were able to launch what you currently have now, which is the Better Media Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted to dive deep into the Better Media Studio because that is your current income outside of your income that you're getting, which is 9 to 5. Talk us through, like, you did mention a bit about how it all started. One of your clients came through and they mentioned, was it a client or was it a guest that came up to you and they mentioned to you?
It was a guest.
It was a guest, yeah. So a guest came through and they had offered, or kind of put that little, add that 2 cents of, "Hey, why don't you think about renting your studio?" Now, from my understanding, I know if I got asked that question and if I was in your shoes, I'd be iffy. I'd be questioning about it for a few reasons. One could be that this is your baby, you know, you've built this whole thing. You don't want it to be like neglected, or you don't want it to be like misused, or potentially it could be the safety of the fact that, you know, the address and the fact that, you know, where the studio is currently at, it's not located privately in a sense. So talk us through, like, how did you navigate your thought from it being an idea to reality for you actually renting out your studio versus back then when you were just using, you were using it for the Better Project?
Yeah, I definitely had concerns about it. I was like, I built this for my own podcast, then I'm going to invite other people in here who I don't know. But I just seen it as an opportunity for extra income, to add value, to grow. And I didn't know where I was going to eventuate into. But I just had to trust that, well, more so just give it a crack because you don't know what's going to happen. I made sure I've got a security camera there just in case. But yeah, just putting the measures in place in case something went wrong that I could cover it. But just by giving it a crack and seeing where it could lead to, you see where it is now.
Mm.
Yeah, I could have just sat on the fence and be like, "Oh, you know, it would be cool, but this is holding me back. Where's that going to get me?"
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, if it wasn't for the income of this studio, I would be pretty stuffed right now financially.
Yeah.
Because we've, after my daughter was born, my partner didn't go back to work like full time. So it all came out of my income and my savings. So to have that extra income on the side helped so much.
Mm.
So without that, I would be pretty damn stuffed. And I'm super grateful that now I can turn that hopefully into a full-time business moving forward.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Like, it's crazy to see how far you've gone from dropshipping to, you know, owning and renting your own, you know, studio. I just wanted to touch base on the actual production of you building the better media studio. How did that come about? Talk us through. How did you go from it being where it was before to where it is now?
So I never looked, I'm only renting this place. This is a garage in my backyard for people that don't know. And I was in a spare bedroom at my parents' house. But when my daughter was born, my missus is like, nah, we can't continue living with your parents. We need our own space. She was looking for houses. She's seen this one and she goes, we're moving here. I've applied for it. This is what we're doing. And we got accepted. Next week, we're moving in. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Moved in, had a look at it. And I was like, ooh, this is a cool space. Imagine if I could turn this into a studio somehow. It was just old, shitty garage. Nothing's level, nothing's straight. But hey, let's work with it. And I got my mate over who does like construction and building. And I go, what's your thoughts on turning this into a studio? Like, is it possible? Can we do it? And he goes, yeah, we can do it. So for the next 6 to 8 weeks after work on the weekends, we built it. Built the ceiling, put the gyprock up, painted it. God, I hated painting. but we got it done. And I'm forever grateful that I actually put so much time and energy in. I documented that. You can go onto my Instagram and see where it started to where it is now.
And I think it's in your highlights.
It's in my highlights. You can go check that out. Like building the wall there, the dividing wall. Like all these little details that me and my mate did, and I'm super grateful for him. Shout out to Mick for putting that time and energy into helping me to build this, because without him, I wouldn't be able to provide this service and I wouldn't have been able to take my podcast to that next level. So yeah, that in itself has been a journey. And then coming back to like, this studio has gone through many iterations from the get-go, because I didn't know what I wanted it to look like or the layout or anything like that. So I just kind of chuck shit in here and hope for the best. And then it's just kind of evolved into what it is now. And still now I sit in here, I'm like, oh, I want to change some things and I want to continue building it. But what I love about this space most is I've had many of people come through and they go, oh, we've gone into other studios before, but it's just like a warehouse. And it gives that cold commercial feeling. Whereas you walk into here and it's actually like a cozy studio. Like it makes you feel like home. You're not just in a cold warehouse. You're not just another number. It's like, oh, I'm coming into my home and I get to record content. So that's what I love about it. And I obviously have that personal connection to the space because I built this with my bare hands. So yeah, I'm forever grateful for this space. It's pretty awesome.
One thing I do want to mention too is the aircon. The amount of people, we're at episode 4 now with you. The last 3 episodes that I've done with the boys, bro, they're all saying the same thing.
Yeah, well, it's been 40 degrees.
They're walking in and they're thinking like, oh, it's probably just going to be in this little shack. Because they walk through and they're like, I think Michael Falalo said that in the last podcast. He's like, it's definitely, he said something, I'll bring it back later. But he was even shocked too, to be like, you'd never think that inside that garage is this studio.
Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, that's what he said. Don't judge a book. It's a great example of that. But yeah, man, you've literally come a long way. And I even look around too. And funnily enough, I actually have been at the spare room. I've done the podcast with you there too. Right. So I've seen the journey and where you've come. I've even been like through the COVID scene, through the pandemic. I've been interviewed by you too, so I've kind of gone through it myself. But yeah, there's definitely been growth, man, and I'm so glad that even though this was last minute, even though this wasn't planned, I'm glad that we're able to have this conversation where you can share your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you though? As you've been sharing the journey of you, you know, going from dropshipping to doing a health and fitness journey where you didn't get the certificate, he needs it back, guys. He might need it later on. Like going through that and then starting, you know, the Better Project and then now doing the Better Media Studio and renting out the studio. You've shared the journey. You've even shared the journey of you building, you know, the production side of the studio. I wanted to ask you. There's definitely been some lowlights, and I've been a part of it, just like, you know, with you. But there've definitely been some points where you felt like, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to throw in the towel. We know now that you still haven't. You still haven't thrown in the towel. You still haven't, you know, given up and said, I quit. Can you take me back to the biggest low point that you had through your journey with the Better Media Studio, specifically?
We discussed this when I was building it. Remember, it took so long.
Yeah.
And it actually, I wasn't recording anything. I wasn't creating any content because, once again, I was in a spare bedroom in the house here. And I just hated it. I didn't feel comfortable. And every time I'd go to record, it's my partner's out there, my daughter's out there crying. Like, I'd feel guilty doing that. And it just didn't feel good to do it. But then that put me in a bit of a hole because I enjoy creating content. I enjoy having conversations with people, yet I wasn't able to do it. And the studio just dragged on way longer than it should have.
What was the plan? So the expected plan for you was how long?
I was hoping like a month.
Yeah.
It took two and a bit months.
Yeah.
And it just really held up the progress. And I felt like I wasn't growing. I wasn't achieving anything. And I had all these goals for what I wanted to do with the podcast, but I couldn't do it. And there was all these guests that I like lined up and I wanted to speak to, but couldn't do that. So
physically?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to do it physically, not virtually. Because yeah. I remember back then you were doing it. Virtually.
I did everything virtually and I hated every single minute of it. Like, there was obviously some good conversations, but on a whole, I did not like it at all because you can't connect. You can't feel that energy with someone like you do sitting across from them in physical form. So I wanted to get this studio up and running so I could get back to focusing on the thing that I really love and what I enjoy. So that was a really low period of, fuck, hurry up. Like, I want to do this thing, but it also taught me a lot of patience too.
Mm.
So looking back, I'm actually grateful for that time because it allowed me to really reflect on myself and be patient and think about the direction that I want to go with it all. So that was a very low point. And looking back at it now, people are like, are you serious? Like, you're just looking about an extra month? And not being patient. But when it's something that you really love and enjoy, and a lot of people would experience this during COVID where you're locked in your house and you can't go out and exercise or go and see people, like, that takes a toll on you, even if it is for a short amount of time. So it took a toll. It wasn't massive, but compared to everything else, I'd say that was probably one of the, I guess, low lights of that period. Everything else has just been a part of the journey, just the ups and downs and just embracing it for what it is. Because as we know in business, it's not all sunshines and rainbows and you're going to have your setbacks, but it's like, okay, cool. How can I grow and how can I evolve off the back of this? Another low light would be doing certain projects for the sake of money, even though you didn't want to do them.
Yeah.
So for me, I had bills to pay and someone would go, hey, can you come do this videography thing? And I'm like, I'm not a videographer. I don't really enjoy it.
Mm.
But I'm going to do it anyway for the money's sake. And it actually turned out shit. Like, I didn't enjoy it.
You knew yourself that it was.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy the process. I didn't enjoy editing. I didn't enjoy anything about it. Yeah, I did it for the money so I could pay my bills. And yes, you got to do what you got to do to pay the bills. But one thing now is just sticking to your guns and sticking true to who you are. And now if anyone comes up to me and goes, hey, I want to do videography, like, can you come film stuff for me? I'm like, no, sorry, like, podcast is my thing. Go hit up Josh. He loves the videography side of things. So, and I feel so much more fulfilled inside knowing, like, I'm setting a boundary. And I'm not neglecting myself in the way of letting money dictate what I do in my life, which feels good, knowing that you're just sticking to what your business is. And yes, you want to try different things. So I am grateful for that, because it did allow me to try that different side of things of media, because I was then able to learn about or reflect on myself of, hey, this is not for me. I'm just going to stick to podcasting. So they were probably the two kind of low lights, but at the same time, I learned so much from them. So are they low lights? I don't know. They're blessings.
I see it also as lessons too. Mm. Like, I think the first one that you mentioned, which is the production stage of you being in the spare room in your own home, doing virtual, keyword virtual podcasting, and then going from there to now being inside. But I think it's also just the time too, like, from the expectation, the expected time frame being one month to actually being two.
Mm.
And then from there, the other second low light that you mentioned was like saying no to projects that aren't within your boundaries, and specifically doing that for the financial side of things.
Mm.
And so, yeah, just going through that, I just wanted to kind of, you know, ask this question before we start wrapping up, which is, how did you cope? Like, how did you keep going? Like, how did you manage to, with all the pressures of you building the production stage of the Better Media Studio, and then going through with, I guess, saying yes to certain projects that you weren't meant to, all the lowlights that you're going through, what kept you going? What was the coping mechanism for you?
Well, pressure is a privilege.
Mm.
And it was all a choice I made at the end of the day anyway. So I can't sit back and be like, once again, play victim and like, say, poor me. Like, I made the choices to say yes. Yes, I can't control certain situations, like the studio taking a bit longer than it should have, but it's all a part of the process. And they say you don't know how much you love something or you enjoy something until you don't have it. So that period of me not having the podcast side of things, it really allowed me to miss it and grow and made me realize, like, fuck, I really love this. I really enjoy it. So when I get the opportunity to get this studio up and running, man, I'm not going to take that shit for granted. I'm going to go all in and work on my craft and get amazing people in here. And last year was the biggest year of the podcast ever, just because I went all in and the studio took my content to a whole new level, because people take you seriously now.
Mm.
You're not in a spare bedroom in your house. You're actually in a studio with high quality equipment, mm-hmm. high quality content. People see that. And you just go from one big guest to the next, and you just continue growing. And now I'm at a stage where I can actually get some big names in here, and it feels good knowing that I've built something so special like this. From a kid who was shy, quite introverted, no one knows who the hell I was, to now people actually know who I am. Mm. And I'm not saying that from a point of I walk down the street and everyone goes, oh, Nick, Nick, Nick. But when the Better Project podcast is mentioned, a lot of people know that. A lot of people know who I am and the journey now. And I'm very well connected because the time and energy that I've put into networking and getting certain guests on here, which is then connecting me with like the inner circle of who they're with and bigger and better names. And you're not going to connect with the people at the top straight away. It's like, how can you find it into that circle?
Yeah.
Connect with the outer layer and just go one layer at a time until you get to those top people.
Mm.
And that's the thing with podcasting. You're not going to get the biggest name straight away. For example, let's take Penrith Panthers, for example, right? NRL team. And this is a circle I'm actually working on at the moment, nice, right? Nice. I'm like, cool. How do I get some of the big players like Nathan Cleary or stuff like that on the podcast? All right, let's go a layer out. Like outside of that, I get James Tuhuna, which is one of their wrestling coaches, get him on. I'm working on their mindset coach. He's going to be coming on in a couple of weeks. So I'm getting the outer layer, which they're going to connect me with the inner layer, which is the Nathan Cleary's and some of the bigger players. And then they may connect me with different circles as well. So you got to work yourself in. You can't just be like, oh, I got a podcast. Come on. Like in an entitled way. Like no one gives a shit that you have a podcast. You got to earn the right. You got to put in the repetitions. You got to have the connections and the relationships and the social proof of, hey, like this guy's actually building something. Like I went from like, and followers don't make a huge difference, but I went from 4,000 to 12,000.
Mm.
Content went up. Everything's gone up. People see that now and they go, oh, like this Nick's like the real deal. Like his podcast is actually really good. And the conversations that he has and the way that he's articulating himself and asking the certain questions, like it's different to everyone else. And that's, for me, is a big thing that I'm proud of. Because even when I do research for my podcast, and a big part of that is listening to other podcasts that my guests have been on. And a lot of the times, it's the same story over and over again from chronological order.
Mm.
And I'm like, this is so boring. Imagine if I do the same thing here. Like, who's going to listen to that?
Yeah.
For me, it's like, okay, cool. I want to know who you are, what makes you tick, the ins and outs. Because you're more than an athlete. You're more than a business owner. You're actually a human being. And I think that's where also the concept of behind the brand came from, is coming back to people by people. It's not all about the business. Yes, the service and the business is important, but people want to know the person behind that brand too. And that's why we started this, to just focus on the business side of things. Whereas me, yes, I talk to business people, but I feel like it's on a more of an intimate level, focusing on the mental side of things. Whereas behind the brand's more of a business thing, which is also why I let you take control of it, because it would kind of feel weird if I was doing it. Like I wouldn't be able to separate the two. So I'm just the ideas guy and I'll let you take the action on it. But just connecting, just networking with people and working your way into the circles that you want to be in. Mm. It takes time, but that's why it's called networking, because it takes a lot of work, a lot of energy to do that. But yeah, last year was one of the biggest years of the podcast, and this year is going to go to a whole new level too.
Yeah. So that's how you're able to cope, is actually going through and just networking and constantly networking with your special guest.
You got to continue moving forward.
Yeah.
Like if you just sit there and go, poor man, and play victim, like it's just going to continue building up in your head. So it's like, okay, cool. What can I control? Well, I know the studio is going to be built in 2 months' time. So like, let's start networking now. So I have guests lined up for that period.
Yeah.
Let's start planning these episodes or planning solo content or planning how the studio is going to look. So then when it is, the foundations are built, I can come in here and quickly put it all together. So focusing on the things that you can control and not getting so caught up on everything that you can't control, because you're not going to be able to control everything. And if you get stuck in trying to control the uncontrollables, it's just a never-ending battle.
Mm.
So you just focus on what you can control.
It's funny, I was just going to follow through by asking if there's any piece of advice, but I think you've already given it. But is there anything, any actual advice that you want to give to those out there that are either wanting to start a podcast, either wanting to start their business journey, or that are currently on their journey and wanting to grow?
A big thing that's been sitting with me lately is, what story do you want to tell? the one of working your 9-to-5 job, having kids, buying the house, living life safely, retiring, maybe doing a few holidays here and there. The Aussie dream, the typical life that society tells you that you gotta live. Well, going against the grain, starting a business, pursuing your passions, your purpose, climbing up the mountains, getting knocked down to the bottom, climbing different ones, like finding your path, finding who you are and your place in this world, and learning and growing along the way, so that when your time is all up and done, you look back in your life and you're like, fuck, I gave it a crack, eh? Mm. Like, I actually gave life a good damn crack, and I don't have any regrets. Because you look at people that are on their deathbed, they always have regret of, I wish I did this.
Mm.
I wish I experienced this. I wish I gave this a crack. I wish I was this type of person instead of living in my comfort zone and working a 9-to-5 job. Like, is that what you want to be remembered for? Oh, yeah. Nick, he went out there and worked his 9-to-5 job and, you know, he retired and he was happy. Was he really happy? No.
Mm.
Like, no one gives a shit about that. What story do you want to tell? You look at all those books behind you, they all have strong stories of adversity and overcoming that and going against the grain. And for me, especially right now where I'm in the crossroads of, yeah, I am working that 9-to-5. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh yeah, I'm living my fantastic life. I'm creating, or I'm living the life of my desire. But I'm on the journey of doing that. And I'm on the crossroad of building this business, the Better Media business, which is then going to allow me to break away from society and go against the grain and create the life that I desire for not only myself, but for my family. So, yeah, you got to take action and focus on the things that you can control. And yeah, and just think about what story do you want to tell to your kids? Even if you write a book, whatever the case is, but what story do you want to share?
Well, for a guy that knows you well, that hit me. grateful, bro. Grateful for you coming out and, you know, taking your time in your own studio to do this. But yeah, we're definitely going to wrap up the Behind the Brand. You already know how we finish off. There's a special guest question that our previous special guest had asked, and they're going to ask you the question. And the question is this: why did you start?
Why not?
Mm.
Why not give something a crack? But why did I start? I think about it now, and coming back to what I said, everyone knew me as this shy, introverted kid. So I look at it now and it was like to prove something to them, to myself, that, hey, yeah, I am shy. Yeah, I am introverted, but it doesn't mean I have to be stuck in that identity my whole life. Like, I can actually go out there and be out of my comfort zone and have the conversations and go out and achieve anything that I want in my life. People have the misconception of once you get this identity or this label, like, that's you. You're the NRL player. You're the business owner. But you wear so many different hats. And coming back to the niche, like, you are your niche.
Mm.
Everyone is an individual for a certain reason, right? Mm. If we were all the same, how boring would life be?
Yeah.
We all have our own hobbies, our own passions, our own way of doing certain things, and that's what makes life beautiful. So just focus on being your authentic self, turning up as your best self, and just enjoy life for what it is, and yeah, enjoy the journey, man.
Yeah, 100%. And so obviously with the question that you've answered, you're obviously going to ask a question for the next special guest, which we're going to do after, outside of this. But if there's any people out there that want to follow you and on your journey, what's the best way that they can connect with you?
Just Instagram. Nick Bitter Official. That's has all my podcast stuff, all my personal stuff. All the links are in the bio for the anything you want, really. But yeah, that's probably the best place is my Instagram.
And if people are wanting to rent out the studio, what's the best way to contact?
Same thing, Instagram. That can be through the Nick Bitter Official or my Better Media page as well. Just hit me up, ask anything you want. I'm happy to help, happy to add any sort of value that you need. And then, yeah, hopefully we can work together.
Yeah, sweet. So for those out there that are listening to this on YouTube, the links will be down in the description. But for those out there that are listening on Spotify or any other audio platforms, make sure you guys check our Instagram page. But other than that, that's all we got for today. Nick, grateful for the grateful sign.
Grateful, bro. Grateful.
Grateful again for jumping on board. And for those out there listening, thank you guys for tuning in. And we'll see you guys in the next one.